Welcome to the Index and Hotel Show podcast, where we uncover exciting interior design stories from a hospitality angle with renowned figures of our industry. I'm your host, Shuchita Gupta, the Senior Conference Manager for Design and Hospitality Index Hotel Show, the shows that transform spaces with design, product and technology, coming to you this May. I'd love to introduce two of our fantastic personalities joining us on this podcast, Pooja Shah Mulani, the Partner Design Director with LW Design, and Naeem Madad, CEO with Gates Hospitality. How are you all doing today? Welcome to the show.
Very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us and doing well. Looking forward for our session today.
Oh, fantastic. So how has your day been? Anything exciting that's just happened till you've reached the studio?
Normal Friday.
Just one of those Fridays.
TGIF, normal Friday.
I actually personally love the sort of work you do, and it's a great combination, to have someone with a hospitality background and then to literally have one of the most popular hospitality designers joining us. And the first thing that comes to my mind for both of you is, how do you think you really connect design to the brand and the real importance of that design?
Ladies first.
Thanks, Naeem. I think it's a great question. And as Naeem and I were catching up early on, design and hospitality design in particular is really very much like theater and like a movie. It's not just one ingredient. It's not just one aspect. Design is an important aspect of all the other pieces, but it's not individual, and it doesn't work just by itself. Everything else has to work. Service, the food, the quality, the ambience, the lighting all play an important part in bringing that product to success. So, of course, when we're thinking about design and when we start looking at a new brand, we consider all of these elements. We consider who's using them, and we're considering the comfort factor, the time factor, what are you eating, how long are you eating for. That all plays an important part in the functionality of the design. But essentially, everything needs to come together to make the design work.
I tried to do the palat thing and gave Pooja the floor, but she's taken all of my points away.
Next time you go first.
On a serious note, I think, look, design and concept definition, they really go hand in hand, but I think concept definition is really the epitome of everything. It should be really the main drive of whatever we're doing. It should be the main focus of what is a concept. And then this is where the concept is actually born and developed and curated to make sure that the end game is parallel with what the initial thought has been designed to go with. So I think what's really clear for me is to make sure that we have very clear definition of what the concept is about, what the concept is willing or designing to actually put forward, and equally as important, who is the product for.
Fantastic. You did mention something about the importance of making sure all parts work within the design, which actually brings me to questioning the functionality of design, right? So can you talk to me a bit more on the functionality of design? How do you really implement it within your projects, and how do you really visualize it?
This is really based on a lot of experience. I think a lot of the operators have that know-how fact. And just to give you an example, sometimes you see these island bars in the middle of a dining room, for example. Eventually, unless they're designed extremely well and very sufficient to run a service, you find that they become a little bit of a disconnect between service and the actual theater that they intend on be putting out. So I think what's very important, like I said earlier, is to make sure that the concept is extremely well defined and defined with people who will operate the actual space, in order to make sure that the design component and the operation are hand in hand, that they have clear strategies, and make sure that the design supports the operations and vice versa.
100% agree with that, but coming from I think the front end of the project, where we don't necessarily always have due to many reasons, time constraint, the building, the project opening time, we don't necessarily have all of that clarity right in the beginning. So there's a fine balance that we have to play between a pure concept and flexibility. And I think that's sometimes where we struggle, to make sure that flexibility aspect doesn't then end up diluting the concept and kind of losing its way. But at the same time, with Dubai being such a robust market with such immense competition and so aggressively moving forward, you have to have the leverage of flexibility a little bit, because you just don't know what's coming up. You don't know what works. There's a lot of aspects that go into this. And it's a very fragile market as well, because, you know, some things work, you have no idea why. Some things don't work, you have no idea why. There are a lot of them that work and you know exactly why, but it's a little bit difficult always to put your finger on this, especially at the beginning end when you haven't got all of these parameters defined. Yet you're sort of moving forward in that direction and then hoping that it all again comes together towards the end and you've got the best team putting it forward towards the end of the project.
You spoke about flexibility, and I just want to understand a bit more on it. What is it that defines flexibility within projects? Is it just timelines that you work with? Is it the mindset? What exactly is flexibility within design that helps you progress within your work?
I mean, I'd say in this market, timeline is not flexible most of the time. That's probably the one thing that's never flexible. But I'd say it's the mindset. A lot of it is the team mindset, but then also being very true to what you do believe in and trying to protect that. So what we always believe in is being flexible in terms of protecting the design, protecting the main concept and the main aspect. But then always being flexible to chef requirements, operational requirements, understanding why certain requests are being made, going back to Naeem's point about, you know, designing a beautiful bar, but if it doesn't have the right amount of storage and dishwasher and glass, and if a chef comes to you and says, you know, I'll be washing 200 glasses in one seating, I haven't got anywhere to put it, that's a valid concern, because then you have, you know, waiters trolleying out glasses through the middle of service in this. So all of those things we really take extra effort to learn and to know, so that we can make sure that these things are considered in the design.
Look, for me, flexibility is also about making sure that there is very clear definition, because that's how you will get the chef, you get the mixologist, you get the team who will design the restaurant. It's a luxury. It doesn't happen very often, because usually the place is designed before these people get engaged. Nonetheless, as independent ourselves, what we're seeing now is this is actually a benefit for us, because we are involved from the onset. We define the concept. Unlike our colleagues in the hotels, where they have a large box and they design stuff out 3 years out. So by the time they actually get to execute these venues, one is competition has moved on. Concepts have also moved on. And last but not least is they have no idea who's going to be operating those spaces in 2-3 years. Equally as important, we don't even know who the demographics will be in those venues. So flexibility is making sure that spaces are adaptable for 5 years in order to make your return on investment.
Absolutely. And touching base on a term that we've heard quite a lot of, you know, when it's used with design, is authenticity. What is authenticity of design to you?
I'm going to let Naeem go first on this.
So, look, I'm going to give you an example. When we opened Bistro des Arts at the Address Marina Hotel, I think the biggest success story of Bistro was everyone called and said, this is a real, authentic French bistro. So I think it's the design component, the color scheme, the menu component, the uniform, the music, the lighting, tables and chairs, even the napkins and the plates, the crockery, cutlery. So authenticity is about making sure that concept is extremely well defined and you stick to those things. We do get a lot of requests for having shisha in the terrace on Bistro des Arts, which I will always refuse to do, because again, authenticity is making sure that you stick to what the concept has set out to do.
Pooja?
Yep, for me, again, I agree with everything that Naeem has said, but in our line of work, we try to make sure that authenticity of design is sort of achieved at every level. I can use Babel Shams as an example, sorry, that's recently opened about a month ago. That's sort of a landmark heritage property in the country that is very well known and is very close to the people of UAE. So we were immediately, you know, challenged with how do you keep the space authentic but give it the refresh that it needs. Of course, it was coming under new management, a new brand was taking it over, so they had all of their requirements in terms of the service level and everything that needed to change. But the design on the onset really needed to maintain that level of authenticity. And we made a decision early on to actually retain a lot of the key pieces and some of the key architectural elements that would never change, that make that property what it was and what it will always remain for the future. So it's sort of keep, you know, people come that come back that have been there for 20 years, come back and say, oh, it looks the same. But then they go inside and say, oh, well, it's a brand new experience. It still feels the same, looks the same. It's elevated, but it still has its original place in the desert as it always was.
Because in the end, I understand that it's all about the experience that you're delivering. You know, as you mentioned about the French bistro, as you mentioned about Bubble Shums, it's all about that experience that you're kind of transforming them to believe that they're sitting in an authentic French restaurant, whereas they're literally going to an Emirati destination and feeling the culture, the heritage, all about experiences.
So you may, I just want to say that we also try and ensure that that is carried through in the service. So in a lot of our F&B design, we go as far as proposing menu design, uniform design, you know, what is the smell that should be there? And, you know, for example, in a hotel lobby. So coming back to Bubble Shams, when you go in and if it's playing R&B, you're displaced, right? Because it doesn't feel that it should. So you don't want to go back to music from 20, 30 years ago, but there should be a hint of the Arabic music that's moved on through the time, but then it still feels very kind of comfortable in the space that you're in. So we do try and ensure that all of those elements, like I talked about before, have to come into place. It's not just the design.
All parts fit together.
All the senses have to come together.
Absolutely. Look, I think it's about curating an experience from the visual to the palate to the senses to the noise to all of that. Until the guest actually leaves, I think that curation, if it's well designed and well thought out on step by step, every touch point, I think this is what Pooja is referencing to, and this is what I genuinely believe in myself. So Pooja's talking about the Bubble Shams. I'll talk about our resort, Six Senses Ziggy Bay. And again, it's rustic chic. So it's very hard to put across a lot of stuff that doesn't actually belong in that nature, in that setting. So as long as you do whatever you do very well, you stick to the concept, but also places like Six Senses Ziggy Bay, you need to make sure that message is very clearly communicated for the guests before they arrive. Because if you're thinking of luxury, majority of people actually, when they're thinking of luxury design, they're thinking of high-rise towers, city hotels, a bit of glitz and glamour. Let's be honest. So we need to make sure that people actually are able to get their messages across in a very clear fashion. So people, when they set foot into a venue, a hotel, a resort, a lobby, there is a natural landing rather than a surprise. And if there is a surprise should be a wow rather than really.
Now that you've spoken about a few of the projects that you worked on, I actually want to understand a bit more and talk more about the wonderful projects that you're proud of. So we spoke about you know, connectivity of design, the functionality and the authenticity. Can you tell me some of the projects that you're really proud of, and you can actually tell me that, yes, all these elements, we of course work on them through all our projects, but these are some of the projects that we've actually really gone all out on these elements.
You want me to go first?
Well, otherwise, you're going to say, but every time I'm there is always a but, so please take the lead.
I think we do have one project that I can talk about. That's City Social that we've recently opened in Grosvenor House 2. This is a three-story multi-restaurant concept that is headed by Chef Jason Atherton, who's a Michelin star chef. We were very lucky with this project in many ways, in terms of we had quite a lot of creative freedom. We had a very good opportunity to collaborate from the onset with the client and the chef on what the vision is and what he sort of wanted to bring to this market. And we've had a very generous client that's allowed us to realize that. So it sort of started with two restaurant concepts. It's now become four. And I think we've managed to create some very unique and different aspects within the same envelope, as it were. Of course, it's just new. It's just open. So it's kind of going through the thing. But I definitely would visit, because I think that you can experience different things all through the three different levels in one evening. And we've kind of taken that forward and managed to materialize all the different parts that come together a lot by sound in that particular venue. So there is, you know, a change in music from the levels to levels that you go to, changes in toilet, the music changes in the toilets, it changes in the speakeasy bar, it changes in the, you know, the kind of jazz restaurant. There's a live singer in there, and then you go downstairs and there's a DJ. So you kind of feel like you're really exploring a lot of different experiences in one evening. And I think that that's hopefully will turn out to be quite successful.
I mean, it sounds great, and I can't wait to be in there, actually. Naeem, how about you?
Look, I'm proud of all of the projects we've done because, again, we're very specific. So they don't have to be luxury or don't have to be QSRs or daily usage venues or cafes. I think as long as these brands deliver on what the brand promises, what the DNA of the brand is, that's exciting. And I just take one, I think, Folly for us in Souq Madinat. Folly is... again, little pockets, location is incredible, overlooking Burj Al Arab, overlooking the Mina Salam Hotel and Resorts. And what we have done there is we've kept everything extremely simple. So everything that the guest touches, you know, the seats are leather. The tabletop is strong wood. The cutlery is strong, heavy feel cutlery. So we've gone away from the tablecloth. We've gone from the formalities into what matters to the guest. And again, the music is curated to the time of the afternoon, time of the day, similar to the project that Pooja was referencing. We have terraces that, as the evening evolves or the day evolves, the positioning shifts, and that's part of the music, part of the uniform, the food offering, the lighting, and so forth. So these are little touches that, if they're not designed well, the place doesn't transform itself throughout the day. And again, expiry in this marketplace, it's so hard to keep up with what's happening. I mean, we have about 14,000 restaurant licenses in Dubai. So the highest per capita, which is an incredible amount of restaurants. And they keep coming. There is, on top of my head, I can tell you 20 brands that are coming and another 20 brands that are being curated locally. So it's very fast. And sadly, that's why we're seeing a lot of closures as well. So it's one of those businesses that, yes, it's glamorous, but it's long hours. It starts before you actually find the location from a concept definition. It starts when you start putting down pen on paper saying, what is it that I endeavor on doing? And it never finishes. And sadly, we are relying on a lot of people to execute that event, that evening, that service. So it's not one person. There's multiple touch points, multiple people involved. And in hospitality, things can go wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
It's an unforgiving market.
Absolutely.
Now that you mentioned this, and quite sadly, though, you did pinpoint the reality that as many are coming in, there are also few that are shutting down. I actually have a question right very apt to this. Do you think it's also because some of them come in with a wave of like trend, but they really die out fast because trends change every now and then? And how do you define trends versus class? What is really the hype in this region? What is the sort of designs that you try? Because if you have a client that comes up to you and say, oh, I want something trendy. I want something that's going on right now. I want a color that is the Pantone color of the year, for example. How do you deal with something of that sort? Because class remains forever. Trends keep evolving. So how do you keep that balance? I just am quite intrigued, actually.
I'm going to let the design director take the
lead. This is a very good question and also a very difficult one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of split it up into two parts, I think. Your point about class and something that's kind of forever and it's a bit more of an institution, you see is a success, even in a market like Dubai, like we've mentioned before, is ever-changing. Zuma will always be Zuma. It's never going to die down. They haven't had a refurbishment in I don't even know how long, but it's full most days of the night. It's full for business lunch. It's full for it is an institution. It will remain an institution. It produces the same quality of food day in, day out. It will remain. So that sort of answers your question of class, and there are a lot of other examples that we can give that are on par with that sort of restaurant. You can't ignore trends because the world lives on trends, and it's not just restaurants. It's everything, right? It's fashion. It's interior. Everything is trend-related. Trends are cyclical also, so I think you have to keep that in mind. And I think as a designer, you have to be careful how you kind of manage the balance between trend and longevity. If it is a short project, if it is a pop-up, for example, then very much so it's based on trend because it's going to stay for a few months and it's going to go away. If you have someone investing like you said, you know, a few million dollars or however much they are, you know that this project is for the next few years. So the design philosophy and how that's going to kind of stand the time has to be reflected within that. At the same time, I think that we went through a phase, and I think there are still some restaurants that very much capitalize on the Instagram moment and the kind of, you know, the photos, the ops and things like that. And of course, that has a lot of mileage on social media. And that's a lot of where some of the smaller brands and the bigger ones actually get a lot of their marketing and a lot of their coverage across the globe and locally. So you can't ignore it. But that can't define the concept and it can't define the design, which I think sometimes, and it has, I think we went through a phase of that becoming, that was just the main thing. You know, it goes through the whole concept presentation. At the end, the client goes, so where's the Instagram moment? I'm like, well, the whole place, really, actually, if you think about it, should really be the Instagram moment. Every piece should come together to be the Instagram moment, not just the one wall. So I think we're evolving as a market, as a design family as well. And I'd say that kind of answers my question of the class and trends. I don't think you can ignore either, but one, I think, has its place in the world, and it always will. And those are for the institutions and people that are wanting to become institutions. And the others, you know, will always be.
Wow. There you go. My take on this is not too dissimilar. And I'd like to add one thing. For me, trends should be a component of the business, not the business. And if we understand that, we're good, because the components you can always replace, and flexibility comes in and you can move forward. But if the trend becomes actual business itself, we know there's a beginning, there's an expiry date. And usually it's fairly short from usage, from demographics, from look and feel, from quality and so forth. Unfortunately, the individuals who are also investing in trends aren't the serious operators usually. So they have a different business objective rather than actually running F&B or running hotels, which sadly it chews up a lot of cash for the wrong reasons. But we're seeing a shift from that now. I think people are going into the F&B business, particularly with the amount of competition that there is in the marketplace, understanding full well that this is not the glitzy and the glamorous business that I think it is. There is, you know, early starts in the morning to go shopping for the goods. There is late finishes. There is a stewarding department in the back. There is a lot of stuff that happens that as a diner, as a consumer, don't even realize actually takes place. So design, trends, and class. It doesn't have to be class. It just has to be sustainable for a duration of time where you get your money back on the business. Because every business, Reform, Social and Grill that we have, is 9 years old today. And Reform has been referred to by both of the What's On and the Time Out as institution. Reform is a classic gastropub. But again, the point that it sits in the marketplace, it does what it does day in, day out. There's a level of continuity, consistency, and last but not least, people know what they're getting. And I think that's important. So if you want the Instagram moment, you have to go elsewhere.
You just put a point of people know what they're getting.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. So you just put a point of people know what they're getting. And that gets me thinking again, that who are these people that these designs are developed for, the demographics? How do you define them? Is it something that's a part of the brief, or is it something that you identify while the design is developing and everything's coming together?
So I'm going to take the lead on this, because I feel very strongly connected to such studies in the marketplace. And I think what's very important is when we have a location, we actually put a brand. We don't have a brand that we're trying to find locations for. So you go to that location, you understand who resides in the neighborhood, you understand parking, you understand the density of population that actually frequents that, you understand the competition as well, and then you plug a solution for that business. So I think understanding the demographics, understanding the neighborhood, the playground that you will operate in is very, very fundamental to the business. Because if there is no audience that will actually utilize the business that you're going to put forward, you haven't done your due diligence. And if you take McDonald's and KFC, we shouldn't be dragging them into this discussion, I'm well aware. However, they do some amazing market research before actually starting stores. And if you notice, wherever you see a McDonald's, you'll see a KFC next door. So they do amazing market research on footfall, on drive-through, on road busyness and accessibility and so forth. So it's well designed, and I think we, to a certain extent, we do the same based on our business positioning. So what's very important is understanding who is this business for and is there a demand in the marketplace.
So, I mean, Naeem as a business owner, I think, has kind of nailed that question. And mostly when
finally.
I think we nailed most of them. and so when the project sort of comes to us at our end at the design front, that sort of research is definitely sound and has already been done. There are some times when because we also take it quite seriously, when we're kind of looking at how is the food plated, what's it going to be on tablecloths you mentioned, or is it what is the price point, how much, you know, and that sort of affects the design as well, because you can't have, you know, a Rolls-Royce design and it's sort of Toyota's coming in for it, it doesn't really match. So we're very aware and also look into the demographics as well to make sure that the comfort level and the people that are coming in feel suited to the design. Not every time we have that level of research available to us. So it does also come down to us a little bit to ensure that we have taken that into consideration. And of course, our budget guides that quite a lot. So on lucky projects, when we have budgets from the beginning, we're able to ascertain what is the price point of, per diner or per guest. And that helps to sort of define the design, materials, cost, fit out and circulation and things like that.
Wow, fantastic. Before we, end this podcast, I do want to ask you for your food for thought to leave behind for all the listeners.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Again, look, like any business, this is not, it's not about subjective or objective. This is about entering into any business. Make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure you have the right partners. Make sure you have the right capital in order to sustain, and last but not least, surround yourself with people who will actually complement what you do. Because a lot of people enter a business without any clue on, I'll find a chef, I'll find a barman, I'll find a design team, I'll find a location. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Our business is so demanding on many fronts. It's a lifestyle business. At the end of the day, it's a lot of what we do is lifestyle, and then we eat rather than we eat and then we lifestyle. So it's a lifestyle component, which entails many, many, many design elements, many sensory curated experiences. But it needs to be extremely well planned, extremely well manned, executed with lots of passion. And sadly, it doesn't end. It's not when you open the door. It's not a retail shop. When you open, you start trading. There is work before and after.
So his was very much more sort of practical driven. I'm going to go the dreamy approach.
Love it.
Investor.
I'm going to go
invoicer.
Exactly. And that's basically it. So as the invoicer, I'd say, to create passion led spaces, which is what I like to say that we do, because we're extremely passion led. My biggest criticism in a presentation I've ever had, which is also my biggest compliment, is we don't want to tell you that we don't like it because you love it so much. And I said, well, that's fine. You can, because you said that, you can now give me your feedback. And it's because if the passion doesn't come through, it's not going to follow through the entire way. So we're fully invested in any project that we take on. And you can really see it coming through because we really go all in. I mean, we go all the way. We start looking at all things that are probably even out of our scope. We've also been told sometimes, that's not you. Somebody else will do that. And that's also okay, but it kind of just shows the depth at which to go to try and make something a success. So, passion.
I kind of get this from this discussion.
Passion.
Well, it always wins, doesn't it? Well, I cannot even tell you how much fun I've actually had doing the podcast with you, Pooja and Naeem. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Please come over to Index and Hotel Show and hear these wonderful personalities. Be a part of it as well. Thank you once again. And, take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.